Okay, good afternoon. I think it's afternoon, and maybe not quite. Thank you. We just wrapped up, several productive days for the NFL. We spent a great deal of time talking about, obviously, a lot of the momentum we have, but also how we can get better in some of the areas that we need to get better at and improve. As you know, we had a focus coming into the meeting on the game and the fan and the changing media landscape and how we as the NFL not only adapt but also certainly take advantage of that opportunity because we think our content can be very helpful in that scenario. It always starts with the game for us. So we, as you know, at this meeting, we spend an awful lot of time with the competition committee. We had incredible integration between our football people, our medical people, our owners, our coaches, and really coming together and focusing on solutions that we think can be very valuable. The biggest issues, I guess, that we spent I wouldn't say the vast majority of the time because it was a 32-0 vote was on clarifying the catch, no catch. Frankly, by the time we got to the floor, it was very little discussion, which I think is a indication of an incredibly powerful process and also getting input well in advance from players, from the NFLPA, from our coaches, from retired players, retired coaches, as well as all the active coaches. And I think that came together very well. In addition, some of the issues that we deal with respect to how we continue to make the game safer, you are all aware of the fact that we spent a great deal of time, had a lot of discussion over the last several days, including this morning, on how we implement the lowering the head. Our focus is how to take the head out of the game and make sure that we're using the helmet as protection and is not being used as a weapon. And that's the core of what we're focused on. And I think we made a tremendous amount of progress in that this week. There's a great deal of communication, education, that still needs to take place. We'll be doing that over the next 90 days, including going to each club, having a players, coaches, medical staff, all hands on deck at each club to be able to go through the changes and make sure everyone's fully aware of them and the basis for those changes. We also spent a great deal of time on our stadium experience. As you all know, and I was just out last week again to Los Angeles, we're thrilled by the stadium experience that we know is coming there. We think it's going to be the greatest stadium in the world. And in the entertainment capital of the world, we think that that's going to be a win with our two franchises in Los Angeles. Sales have begun, and early indications are incredibly positive. So when you add that to Las Vegas, which, again, that project's coming out of the ground. It is, again, a very exciting project and maybe the fastest-growing city in the country. We see all of these transitions playing out and leaving us in a very good position in a couple of years. One other piece and a couple other pieces of business, as you part of the Hollywood Park project, we announced earlier this week we were going to be relocating the NFL Network to the Hollywood Park Stadium site. We think this is incredible for not only the NFL Network, because it's a key location, and we think a great asset that will be able to put that stadium and that development on a great platform, the NFL Network. So that's exciting for us. And then we had a couple other business issues, including updates this morning on our 100th season, which we're just a little bit over a year before we start that celebration, which we all think will be great. And also, with the draft coming quickly in just a few weeks, we spent a great deal of time talking about our plans for the draft, which we think are unprecedented and will take the draft even to a higher level than the great job that Philadelphia did last year. So I'll be happy to take your questions.
We have the microphone.
Oh, I also have Rich McKay, who's head of the competition committee here, so we'll be happy to address any issues you have.
Let's begin with Mark Maskey.
Roger, over here on the side.
Yes, Mark.
Roger, how would you characterize the discussion among ownership at this meeting about the national anthem policy, and do you believe there will be a consensus reached in May on that issue as to whether there will be any changes in the anthem policy?
Mark, the real focus of the meeting, on the social justice was a passing, which we did unanimously. The last piece of our program that we worked out with the Players Coalition, which was to create a platform which to address the issues of which the players had raised, they're passionate about, and the ownership wanted to support them. And so I think we've really come together in a unique program to support the players and to work between the teams and the players to address those issues in the communities. That was the vast majority of our conversation over the last couple of days. There was some discussion on the anthem, but only in the context of is this the platform which to help the players address these issues in their communities and make sure that we're in a better place.
Ben Bowen.
Hey, Roger. Ben Bowen from the Boston Globe. This is for Ben. Roger, Rich McKay, Al Riveron, anyone who wants to answer this. There's been some buzz this week about the catch rule in the Super Bowl, specifically the Corey Clement touchdown. That was confirmed and upheld. The new rule obviously allows for a little bit of movement of the ball. Troy Vincent last week on the Dan Patrick show said the slight movement of the ball, the old language read, if there's slight movement, you've got to overturn it. And in the Super Bowl, we've heard audio of Gene Steratore admitting that there was some slight movement. So did the league use the new catch standard last year under the old rules still?
I'd probably let Al do that since he's the one who made the decision. So.
No, we did not. In order for us to overturn a call, we have to see clearly indisputable evidence. And there was some slight movement, but we didn't see loss of control. We didn't see indisputable evidence that he did not have possession of the football.
Okay, Sam Farmer.
Roger, back in 2012, you wrote the memo, and probably predates this, about what your expectations and criteria were for the Los Angeles Stadium or you know, loose idea.
Did you get that memo, Sam?
Well, yeah, I did get that memo. And it seems like this is the natural progression, moving NFL media to that site. And I wonder, what's the next step? Is everything on the table in terms of off-season events, things like the Combine, the Pro Bowl?
Draft.
Yeah. The draft there. What's the next step in the evolution of the stadium, and how would you use it? In addition to the occasional Super Bowl and 20 regular season games a year?
Well, Sam, we think this is a great opportunity for the NFL, but we also believe it's a great opportunity for the Los Angeles community, because I think this is going to be such an incredible project, and it will be an opportunity for us all to take either the events that are there or the efforts that we're engaged in, whether it's the draft or the Pro Bowl or any of the events that you talked about. We expect to do more there, and we believe that that will be good for the community. It will be good for the NFL and for each of those events. And that's why we wanted to have that presence of the NFL Network there, because we want to be able to show that. We want people to feel that. We want to provide that kind of a stage for what we think is going to be the world's finest stadium. And that excitement is building. When I was out there 2 weeks ago, I saw it. I actually met in the sales center with several fans that happened to be going through. And you can feel that anticipation building. And so we're anxious to be a part of that, and we're actually anxious to bring more events there.
David, ESPN, Charlotte.
Yeah, David Newton, ESPN.com. Could you give us an update on the investigation of Jerry Richardson and how you think that might impact his legacy, and also an update on the sale of the team and how many legitimate bidders you think are out there?
Well, there's a lot of questions there, but let me start with the investigation. I think that was first we raised. As you know, we hired Mary Jo White back in early January. She is at work. I haven't gotten an update from her in the last 30 days or so. But when she's completed her investigation, I certainly will meet with her, and you all will be aware of it also. A couple of questions. The sales process. Sales process is moving along. I've talked to Jerry as well as the leadership team about that process. It's moving along with unprecedented interest, and we're excited by that. And I would expect that they'll come to a conclusion sometime, so that the potential is and the hope is that we could be able to vote as a league in May.
Judy?
Roger, over here.
Yes, Judy.
Roger, do you personally believe that there is any need to change your current national anthem policy as it currently stands?
Judy, you know, from my standpoint, that's something that the ownership and I will continue to discuss and focus on as we feel it's needed. I think, to me, my focus has been almost entirely on listening to players, understanding better what they were protesting. We now understand that much better and have a deeper knowledge from our players as well as others in the communities. And I think now we want to just make this platform extraordinary. And working with the players, and I was texting with Malcolm and Anquan Bolden the other day, just talking about we now have this unprecedented platform now. Let's go make it more impactful than ever. Let's focus on making the changes that we all believe in that are so important that came out of that unprecedented dialogue with our players and our owners last year. Our players obviously are very passionate about this. Our owners are very passionate about it. I think that's reflected in the 32-0 vote.
Rob, AP.
Roger, Rob Motti, AP. How concerned would you be, Roger, if Eric Reed doesn't get signed, about the message that that could send that guys who stand with Colin Kaepernick also would be out of the league?
Guys, I've said this repeatedly to you. The 32 teams make their individual decisions on the players that they think are going to best help their franchises. Those are decisions that they have to make. They do that every day. They do that in the best interest of winning and putting the best franchises together. And they'll make those decisions. I'm not directly involved with those.
Bob Blatter.
For either Roger, Rich, or Al, there seems to be a lot of concern voiced among players, some coaches, about the new lowering the head restriction. Players seem to think that the whole game is going to change. Defensive players are basically afraid that they're going to have to relearn everything, that they can't play the game that they have been brought up to play, and it's really a concern, especially about being potentially ejected from a game. How will that how will you go forward with that in explaining it to them, and will this game in fact go through a transformational stage with that new regulation?
Well, Bob, we just finished several days of meetings with those coaches, and there was very, very strong support for making these changes. In fact, I would say unanimous on the fact that we can take the head out of the game. We do want to make sure that certain techniques aren't used in our game. They're not in the best interest of the game at any level. And there was very, very strong support for that. You're jumping ahead to the players who haven't had the chance to be able to hear the discussion that we've had. So you're reacting to players who not yet heard that dialogue, heard the basis of why we came to where we came. And I understand that, but that's why I mentioned early on, our intent is to make sure we go to each team, and we have tape, we have all of the analysis and work that was done in great coordination with our various teams to be able to communicate that to them. So I'd give them an opportunity first to understand what the play is before we make a lot of judgments about the ramifications. We think this is going to help us take the helmet out of the game and get it back to where it's a protective device as opposed to something that can be used as a weapon. I don't know if Rich, you want to raise it.
Bob, as the commissioner said, I thought that the meeting that the commissioner leads I guess it was yesterday. These days tend to blur together to me. I think it was yesterday. We had a meeting where, you know, you've just got the owners, head coach, GM in the meeting. And I thought that the tenor of the meeting was as positive as I have been involved in those meetings before. And the reason was the focus was on this rule, on the change with respect to the helmet, and on where our game needs to go with respect to the helmet. And I think the coaches unanimously stood up and said, we're with it. We understand it's a major change, and we take responsibility, which is what the union asked us when we met with them in Indianapolis. They said, hey, we understand the rule. We understand the change. We need the coaches locking arms with us, arm in arm, in the teaching of this, and I thought that's what the coaches said. So to the commissioner's point, we've got to get together. We've got to put the materials together. We've got to show the tape. We've got to make sure all of you see it, they all see it, and it's taught the same way at all 32. If that happens, I think the players, we have the best athletes in the world, they'll conform. And hopefully this becomes the springboard to take it all the way down at all levels, because the head and the lowering of the head has become too commonplace, and it needs to get out of the game.
Let me just add one other point that is important to have in that, and they have been in the process, primarily through Al, his staff, and our full-time officials that we added last year, and that's officiating. Obviously, they have to be on the same page also. How are we going to officiate it? But I think Al would tell you, and he can tell you directly, that we believe that this rule is actually going to be very easy for us to officiate and actually bring more clarity. So we look at that as a positive, obviously.
Hi, Roger. Sal Capaccio, WGR Radio in Buffalo. New Era Field is 45 years old. The lease expires in 5 years when it'll be 50 years old. Can you give us any update on any discussions you've had with the Pegulas regarding the future of that stadium or something else in the future?
Well, as you know, earlier this week we did a short-term joint financing with the Bills to make some short-term improvements in that facility. I know that they're focused on this, and they're looking at how they address these issues long-term, but I think those are better coming from the Pegulas whenever they're at the point in which they want to share that with the community. I think they're at a very early stage at this stage.
Steve and Charlotte.
Steve Crum, WBTV Charlotte. Follow-up question, and that is...
I'm sorry. I'm not sure where you are.
I'm
so
sorry,
I apologize.
Sir?
Center left.
Gotcha.
Yes, sir. As a point of follow-up, regarding the investigation into the Carolina Panthers, will the findings be made public before or after the sale is completed?
The findings will be made public when we've finished the investigation and we've reached a conclusion.
Larry? Norm?
Yeah, Roger, you attended Tom Benson's funeral. Your thoughts on his passing and just the event that you saw, Second Line and all that, and then about the transition from Tom to Gale becoming the owner of the team.
Well, Tom was very important to the league, and I mentioned this at the start of the meetings on Sunday night. He was a very active owner in this league. He loved the league, he loved the Saints, and he loved the New Orleans community and the fans. He gave us so much at the league level, his time, his care, his wit, and we're going to miss him a great deal. He was an extraordinary man, and I know from seeing that celebration over the last week or so, the New Orleans community is going to miss him. But I know Gale is very passionate about it. Through all the difficulties and challenges and heartache that she's been through, she was here every single day this week, attended every single meeting, and participated. And I think that demonstrates to you that the team's in good hands and the way Mr. Benson wanted to have that.
Tom, NFL Media.
Roger, right here.
Hey, Tom.
In the long run, I know player safety rules, such as the lowering the head rule, are intended to correct behavior, correct technique. In the short term, they usually lead to more flags on players, more ejections for players, more fines for players. What discussion, if any, has there been about increasing potential discipline for clubs or for coaches whose players are repeat violators of such rules?
Yeah, Tom, we've talked about that, and I think there may be a place for that at some point. I think the focus for us initially here is education, though. And I'll go back to it. I don't think in my 7 years, I've seen quite the coordination between various disciplines, whether it's the football people, the officiating, our competition committee, various other people that have a stake in it, including our medical teams, that I think are the level of data and information that we have through injury data, and we share that all with the Players Association, as you know, and working cooperatively with the Players Association, and also now being able to tie that together with some engineering data that I think it helps us frame the thinking behind our decisions and will also give us the ability to share that with others and educate them so that they're on the right page. They understand why we're doing what we're doing. And that became really clear when we shared it with the competition committee back in February. I saw it with the coaches this week. And I did not hear a single coach who didn't believe this is what we have to do, and this is the right thing to do, and we can do this. And it's going to take a collective effort. It's not just on the officials to enforce it. It's just not on the league to discipline for it. It's on the coaches to coach it and to coach it on a daily basis. And I just talked to three coaches about that exact issue this morning and got three texts from three other coaches. So everyone's enthusiastically behind this and supportive of this. We understand that the players still are, you know, they haven't yet seen all the data that we have, and they haven't seen exactly how we're going to approach this. But I'm confident in the next few months we'll be able to do that. They'll understand, and our game will be in a much better place for it.
Dear Orlando, Atlanta.
Yes, dear Orlando Ledbetter, the Atlanta Constitution.
Yes, sir.
With the Atlanta meeting coming up, other than the sale of Carolina, what's on the agenda for that meeting, and will it include a tour of the Super Bowl setup and facilities for y'all?
You're ahead of me. I just got done with this one. You got to give me a breath. But in typical fashion, because you know there are things that we need to follow up from the March meeting that, particularly in some of the football areas that we've just talked about. We're going to come back to the ownership and talk to them a little bit more about some of the standards of which we've focused on and some of the processes, some of the ways we're going to educate the club. So I see a great deal of follow-up there. We're excited about being in Atlanta for the Super Bowl, but we're also excited to have the opportunity to see the stadium. I don't know whether we'll go over and take advantage of that opportunity. I guess, Rich, it depends if you invite us.
Maybe.
Hey, Roger, how you doing?
Tom, hey, Tom. Cameron,
NBC Sports Boston. Yep. I wanted to circle back, if I could, with Al on the Corey Clement thing. I'm just wondering why Troy Vincent would have stated that the slight movement meant that you would have definitely had to overturn that previously, and the new language would eradicate that. It almost seems as if that was the standard, as the two announcers, Al and Chris, indicated during the game, that it would have been overturned. Was there anything going into that game that said, look, we've gotten too fine with this, we want to try and temper it back and correct it?
Let me answer your last question first.
No,
there wasn't. There was no conversation of we have to pull back or we have to rule differently. But remember, the rule did say slight movement is allowed. And that's exactly what you heard. And when Geno came off, Geno actually said, I'm paraphrasing now, yes, the ball goes from here to here, but he never loses control. So there was slight movement. And we have numerous occasions during the year where we had slight movement, but we did not overturn it. And again, did we have all the angles possible? Yes, we did. And within those angles, we didn't find anything to make it pass slight movement, which is what the rule entailed.
Okay, two more. We'll go to Jared.
Roger.
Over here.
Yeah, sure.
On the lower, I got a couple questions, actually.
He just said two questions. You can't take all the two. You can't take the remaining two, Jared.
No, but on the lower of the head rule, can you clear up or define what would constitute an ejection versus just a 15-yard penalty? I would imagine it would be something flagrant at some level, but how is that to be officiated? And the second part of that is this something that has to fall under the umbrella of instant replay reviews ultimately?
Let me take those in reverse order, Jared, because I think it's reflective of the conversation we had over the last few days. I think, and I think it was Coach Belichick who first raised it, but if we were able to have replay to confirm when there's one of these fouls that we think should be removed from the game, that also confirms whether someone should be ejected, I think there's a great deal more confidence amongst the coaches that it'll be done consistently and fairly. And I think it also gives the officials more confidence to be able to make those judgments because they know that there will be some type of video input in that, and Al could address that. So I actually think that the coaches and the clubs and our officials all or collectively feel that is an appropriate thing to do. And it is the first time that we've used replay for safety. And I think that's a positive thing. As Rich said, it's the first time we've used replay in respect to any kind of a foul. But we think that's warranted for safety-related issues. First part of your question was
15 yards versus an ejection.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the work we need to do over the next few weeks, which we've done a great deal of work on this, but now we want to go back and look at what's that standard of when it'll go from a disqualification of a player to a fine or suspension or any other alternative from there. That's the work that we're going to be doing, and that's the work that we'll be educating our clubs back in May and in June with the clubs individually.
One more thing for me.
I don't know. You guys will vote on whether he gets a third, huh?
We need 24 or 32 votes.
Okay.
I tell you, 24 is a hard standard.
I don't think you got it, by the way, Jared. But
I'm curious about where the league is going to go with the Rooney Rule. After seeing what happened with the Raiders case and the controversy regarding the timing of that, do you feel like there are things that you have to do moving forward, maybe in May, that will strengthen the rule, redefine the rule, tweak it in any way?
You know, Jared, I look at it more broadly than that. I think our efforts in this area, we have to look at more broadly, because I think it's not just about the Rooney Rule, and our efforts never were just about the Rooney Rule. I think it's an important element. There's a fundamental aspect to that. But I think it's much broader than that, in the sense of how do we create the opportunities and how do we do everything to help train and give people the experience to advance their careers, and to do that with a tremendous focus on diversity, so we have the best people performing at the highest levels in the league. And that's a core value of who we are and what we do. I think that's going to come in multiple forms beyond just the Rooney Rule. Are we going to look at the Rooney Rule and see, can we improve that? Absolutely. Are we going to look at some of the training methods to give those coaches and GMs and officials and every other aspect of our operation better opportunities to expand their roles and to go to another level? That's what we do very well, and I think we'll look at all of that.
Last question, Ian.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network.
Where is Ian? I hear
you. To the left. There you go.
Hey. Yes, Ian.
What did the league and what did the owners learn about the gambling study whose findings were presented this week? And if the Supreme Court does pass this, what's going to happen?
Well, Ian, I don't have any insight to what the Supreme Court's going to do. And we're not privy to that. I think what we did this week was make sure people understood how the I would call it prospects and the potential for how gambling can change, in part because of the Supreme Court decision, how it's evolved on its own beyond that. And this isn't new work. We've been focused on this for several years of how does it affect the way we operate. The number one thing which was endorsed repeatedly by our membership was the integrity of our game, though. We have to make sure that whatever environment we're working in, and some of that may be related to what the Supreme Court decides, some of it may be future legislation, but we need to make sure that we're operating in an environment where we can protect that integrity of our game. We recognize this, that we're dealing in an environment here where we don't know what the Supreme Court's going to do, and we don't know how other issues are going to evolve, but we wanted to make sure our clubs fully understood what we're doing to make sure we're prepared for that.